last time, I did rush through somewhat the 40 kings that were in the promised land that were blocking the children of Israel's inheritance. And so I want to explain that a little bit more today, so we can get hold of it. You know, the whole purpose of looking at this thing of transformation is that we're in a place of being prepared for what's coming, and God is giving us prophetic revelation so we can be ready and prepared for what he's got coming ahead of us, and he's given us a heads up so that we can be ready. But in the place where there's transformation and change, there's a place of fire. Place of God's fire, purifying, refining, putting this in the crucible, fire from the altar, whichever way you want to look at it. It's about fire to change. Romans 12:1, it's that whole thing of presenting ourselves. It's not that God is going to make us. God wants us to be proactive in presenting ourselves to him as an offering, as a sacrifice, so that he can change us and transform us, so that we won't be conformed to the world. The past, the way the world has brought us into this point, but we will be transformed by changing us so that we'll be able to outwork the will of God for our lives. Now Matthew 17:2 says, he was transfigured before them and his face shone like the sun and his garments became as white light. Now that word transfigured is the same word as transformed, metamorphosis. So it's not just our soul that needs transforming. Our spirit and body and soul need to be part of the process. So Jesus actually was representing mankind when he was on that Mount of Transfiguration, and he was showing people what it would be like if they were fully able to reflect God's glory through their lives. And literally he shone. And I believe that's what God wants from us, and if as we get fully transformed into the image of Jesus and become joint heirs with him, then we will begin to shine, actually spiritually, but also physically. There will be something of God's glory that gets seen, because we'll get restored back to what Adam was like before he fell. The spirit is birthed at salvation, but must be trained to be strong and to rule in our lives. In Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the soul being transformed. The soul must be trained to surrender to control of the spirit in our lives. And our inheritance is both physical and spiritual. A lot of what we've focused on is what we see in this realm of a physical realm. And we think this realm is the actual real one. But actually this realm came out of the spiritual realm. We were spirit before we were flesh, and we will eternally live in that spiritual realm. It is no less real than the natural realm. Just because we can touch things and it feels solid doesn't make it any more real than the spiritual realm, which you can't see. You know, this solid material isn't really solid anyway. Most of it is 99.9% empty space, just filled with some atoms that hold it together and appear solid. The whole realms that we see, physical and spiritual, exist. And it's like this realm is a projection, like a hologram of the real realm of the spirit. And it's supposed to take on the reflection of the image that God created it in. Now it got spoiled and messed up, so it needs to be restored and made whole, brought back into its original condition. And that's what God wants to do. So our inheritance in that is not just this physical realm, but actually needs to operate in both spiritual and physical. We are human beings, but we originally were spirit beings. We are becoming living beings, transformed into the image of God, and our destiny is to be like God-like beings, transformed into the image of Jesus. The promised land in the Bible is an illustration of our inheritance, both physical and spiritual. And that's why the importance of looking at what it means and the things that are there are used there for examples for us to look into our own lives and actually see how God wants us to inherit and what our inheritance is as his children and his people. Joshua 12, in there are 40 kings There are nations and cities that occupied the promised land that the children of Israel were going to go in and have to dispossess. God didn't just kick them out. They had to go in and take possession of the land. And so those kings, those nations, those cities represent areas where the enemy occupied. But it didn't really belong to the enemy, because God had promised 430 years earlier that Abraham would inherit that, and that Abraham's children would inherit that. And so when it went through the children to Isaac, and eventually Jacob became Israel, to Joseph, then the whole thing started to unfold, that those promises would be taking place. But those areas, or those kings, those cities, are like occupied strongholds of the enemy. Now think of our lives, and think of the struggles that we have, and the areas we're trying to overcome, and the things that we have, and those things, it's like areas in our thinking, our feelings, our behaviors that we can't change. They don't just automatically change, because the enemy's got something there that he's staked a claim, if you like. They may be bondages, addictions, habits, thinking patterns, emotions, things that control us. Enemy occupied territory, areas of hopelessness and darkness within. Because some areas are just hopeless. They don't seem to be able to change. And there seem some areas that just are dark and you cannot penetrate them. But God has given us a way. Those things rob you of your inheritance and your destiny to be a son of God and a joint heir with Jesus. They are areas that the enemy stops the flow of God. John 14:10 is what God wants us to have as our inheritance. The Father abiding in me does his works. Just what Jesus was saying. That actually he had such a relationship with God, his Father, that the Father was living in him, and it was the Father in him who was causing everything to take place through him. And then it says in verse 12, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. It is our inheritance to do the works of Jesus. The miracles, the healings, the control over nature, all those things, that is actually our inheritance. Now the enemy wants to rob us of that inheritance, because Jesus, it says, came to destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus' inheritance was to do works, to destroy the works of the devil, and that's ours, the devil does not want us to occupy that inheritance, because he knows his days are numbered, when we will be able to bring healing and deliverance and miracles to see his control over our lives and our areas and our towns and our regions broken. And not just that the works that Jesus did we will do, but greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Jesus went back into the realms of heaven to open up heaven for us so that we would do even greater works of authority and power and occupy greater spiritual authority than we could previous to that. And then it says this in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Well, that's an inheritance. Think of that. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. How many of you would like that? Well, that's what Jesus said is your inheritance. Because you wouldn't be asking for selfish things, because you'd be asking things in the name of Jesus, under his authority, with his heart, his purposes, his will at work. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now that is a tremendous promise that none of us have lived in the good of. And God wants us to have that as our inheritance, to live in that promise, to be able to live like that, and to occupy that sort of authority. What is our inheritance? A life of wholeness, prosperity, excelling to the highest level, spirit, soul, and body. Romans 5:17, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. It is our inheritance to be ruling and reigning in this life, not to be under the circumstances, but to be over them, to be ruling and in control of a sphere of influence that God has given us, wherever big that might be, wherever you've been called to live, to occupy, or have an inheritance. It is so that you can rule and reign in that and have authority over it, so that you change things. Things don't change you. You change the atmosphere. You change the circumstances. You change the situations because you bring the rule of heaven to earth through your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in the Amplified says, "And may the God of peace himself sanctify you." That's the process of transformation. It's called in the Bible the word sanctification. It means setting apart for my purposes. And then it goes on to explain, sanctify you through and through. That means through and through, completely. Separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would suggest that Jesus isn't coming back until that's done. So if you want him to come back, let's get our act together and start getting that stuff sorted out. Because God wants to come back for a spotless bride, for a people and a church who are, as it says there, sound and complete and blameless. Wholeness or peace means biblically nothing missing, nothing broken. Think of anything in your life that's missing. Think anything in your life that's broken, and that means you're not whole. But our inheritance is to be whole, to be complete, to have nothing missing of what God intends us to have nothing broken so that we are in that place of peace, complete, without blame, without reproach, without sin, without transgression, without iniquity. That is God's desire for us. Our inheritance is blocked by enemy-occupied territory, strongholds of hopelessness and darkness within. Fractures in our soul. It's like our soul has been fractured by the things that have happened to us and the things that have happened in our past generation, and they've allowed the enemy to come in. Strongholds give legal rights to the enemy, basically like they've staked a claim on your inheritance. You know, in cowboy times, you've seen cowboy films in that where there was gold mines and things like that, they used to go and stake a claim. Go and bang a stake in the ground and say, this belongs to me. And it's literally like those fractures in our soul have allowed the enemy to bang a stake and claim territory in our souls to stop God's inheritance being fulfilled. Those legal rights, those stakes, are the laws of iniquity, reaching third and fourth generation, laws of sowing and reaping, whatever you sow, you will reap, the law of sin and death. Those are actual laws which are legal things, and the enemy is a legalist and he takes advantage of those things in our lives. That's why we have to deal with those things that have given legal right. The generational outworking of those things is in our souls and our genetic makeup as a result of legal things that the enemy has been able to do in the past. Physical and spiritual realms. Because it operates in both places. Because the kingdom of God is a heavenly realm. But it's also mirrored within us. So yes, there's a heavenly realm that's called the kingdom of God. And it's around us. But also it says the kingdom of God in Luke 17:21. The kingdom of God is within you. So the rule of God, the realm of authority and government, is also within us. It's in our hearts, among you, surrounding you, what the Amplified Version says. There is a conflict, an internal battle for control. Whose kingdom rules? It's called spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare takes place within us and in the realms of the kingdom of heaven for control. So that God's kingdom can be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. But the enemy does not want God's kingdom manifested on earth. He wants the enemy's kingdom manifested on earth. Because his whole intention was always to rule and take something which belonged to us. That's why it says in John 10, the enemy is a thief, a robber, a liar. Wants to steal from us. Enemy strongholds block your spirit, soul, and body gates. Those gates in our spirit, in our soul, in our body, which is to allow God's glory to flow through us to the world around us, are blocked by those enemy strongholds. They hinder the manifestation of God's glory through and around us. That's what they do. They empower spiritual forces in the kingdom of God realm in the heavens. See, whatever happens on the inside of us, because the kingdom is within us, also is reflected in what goes on in the realms of heaven. And therefore, they rob spiritual authority that we should have in the heavenly realms because of what's going on in our lives. Now, that's a picture of the seven realms of heaven. Kingdom of earth, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heaven, perfection, and eternity. I want to look at just what goes on in this realm, in the kingdom of God realm. We saw this picture last time. Essentially, there's the kingdom of God, God's realm of government in heaven. Between that realm and this realm, kingdom of the earth, are those everlasting doors, windows of heaven, whichever you want to call them, which are where God's glory manifests, where heaven invades earth through those doors. Now, those doors are part of all our lives. All of us have doors operating that we should be able to manifest heaven to earth through. But they're blocked. There are thrones, which represent authority, different levels of it, right up to the highest level. Those highest level throne is protected by the sons of God, the Ben Elohim, the angels, who are protecting our inheritance, waiting for us to come to maturity. They're waiting for us to have the level of maturity that we can be entrusted with true spiritual authority in the heavenly realms. Because when we manifest true spiritual authority in the heavenly realms, it will be manifested through the kingdom of God in us, around us. So we can do those greater works. So we can do the miracles and the signs and wonders where we can take authority and change things around us. But of course, the enemy has set up things to block us. So the things like the cities and the strongholds in the promised land are reflected of things in our lives and also things in the heavens. So those nations, those kings block the everlasting doors being opened. How did this work? Our enemy strongholds in us gives false kings, and they're just spiritual beings in the heavens, to actually sit in front of the everlasting doors and block them. Our genetic seed and our genetic record gives the dragon or serpent seed. Now, people get all hung up with, oh, dragons. Satan was called the old dragon. That's what he was called in Revelation. Why do we have a problem with dragons? They're just spiritual beings that reflect the nature of their master, Satan. Also, our genetic record gives giants, Nephilim seed, the opportunity of blocking our authority in the heavens. Now, what happens then is that gives the things that occupy the atmosphere of the earth around us authority over our lives. And this is the biggest problem, because we wander around thinking, well, this is just what life is, not realizing that we're surrounded by a spiritual realm, levels of spiritual realm around us, authority around us. If we allow those things in our lives to continue functioning, they continue to allow that which is in the heavens to affect the atmosphere around our lives. So what goes on in the world, our body, soul, and spirit, is reflected by what goes on in heaven. Ephesians 6:12 says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not against people that our issue is with when it comes to spiritual warfare. It may get outworked through people in situations, but the reality is our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers or principalities. You know, like the Principality of Monaco is an area where that is ruling. Against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our struggle is with the things that go on in the heavenly places. So if we don't access the heavenly places, how are we ever going to deal with the things that we have to struggle against? Hence, God is giving us more revelation today about how we deal with these things and how we overcome those struggles. Because if our struggle is with those things and we don't know where they are, what to do with them, then we're going to continue to struggle until we die, basically. But actually, God wants us to overcome. Our stuff, the things in our lives, legally empowers spiritual forces in the governmental heavenly realms to control the spiritual atmosphere around us. Hence, When you feel dark, miserable, depressed, heavy, oppressed, it's because the atmosphere around you is controlled by things in the heavens rather than you. But you have the right to control that atmosphere, but you have to do it in the right way. So we have in the atmosphere of the earth around us, and actually this isn't like, oh, well, this is up on stratosphere somewhere. This is just spiritual dimensions around us that sometimes we see. That's why we can see angels. And we can see things sometimes because we are spiritualized, get a glimpse of the things that are going on around us. Principalities and powers, rulers and darkness, spiritual host of wickedness. Principalities restrict our territorial authority. They hinder us from taking the ground that God wants us to have. The powers block favor and blessing. Bad luck. Lots of people think, oh, just bad luck. It's not just bad luck. It's just not coincidences that things keep going wrong. It's because the enemy has the right to create that around and block the favor and blessing of God. Rulers of darkness cause confusion, deception, oppression. They keep the world pulled over your eyes. My quote from my favorite film, The Matrix. Because what you think is just this world is not. There is a whole different dimension of stuff that is going on, which is just as real. And if we're hidden and we're blinded from it and we don't see it, then we'll never deal with it or take authority over it. And we'll continue to go around operating in a realm which is so much less than what God desires us to have. The hosts of wickedness create the temptations and the seductions and the enticements around your life. Why is it you think the same sins continually get repeated? Because the enemy creates situations around you that puts temptation in your way because of the things in us, but it creates an atmosphere and environment where the enemy is occupied and the enemy is working, but we need to deal with it. Now the great thing is, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. God will make a way out. He always gives us a choice, and we can always make the choice to say no. The problem is idolatry. Idolatry is where we put other things in the place of God in our lives. It isn't today. We don't have our little idols. Some of us might do, Buddhas or whatever, in our houses and things that we worship. But generally, it's not talking about actually those things that we make, but it's what's behind it. Therefore, anything that takes the place of God in our lives becomes an idol. Anything that we sacrifice to becomes an idol. We have to flee idolatry. Now, God doesn't leave us in this spiritual atmosphere alone. Hebrews 1:7, of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Angels are there in that spiritual realm to operate on our behalf. Verse 13 says, but the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Our angels are working overtime on our behalf because we're not engaged with them. They're having to do it on their own. So our guardian angels protect us. But there's only so much they can do. We need to start cooperating with that whole spiritual dimension that's around us, including the angels, to see those atmospheres changed. Because they're supposed to there render service to us so that we can inherit the fullness of what God wants us to have, which is physical and spiritual. The angels are there to guard, protect, and serve us. But most of us never even seen them. You need to know. You have guardian angels. You need to know their names. You need to talk to them. You need to direct them. Be aware of their presence. Often, most people are more aware of the enemy's presence than they are of the angelic presence. Because it's easier to feel the oppression, depression and stuff that's heaviness than it is the stuff that God wants us to see. Our genetic record is of 23 and 23 chromosomes. Those things are stored in our hearts, and they are the past generations that affect us today. But God is doing a work to deal with that. Ezekiel 36, 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. He doesn't want our heart to be like it was. He wants to give us a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God wants our hearts to be transformed and changed. 2 Corinthians 3, 3 says, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is writing, wanting to rewrite what's on your heart. Not on the tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So the illustration is God wants to rewrite the record that's giving the enemy access to occupy our souls and our hearts. But we have to cooperate. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. In other words, let me know what my heart's like. Now, if you're honest, and when you start to see, it's not very pleasant. Because you start to see all the dark areas, and all the heavy areas, and all the areas that are occupied by certain sins, and certain strongholds, and certain things. But if you can't see them, you can't own them. If you can't own them, you can't repent of them, and you can't get them dealt with. So we have to ask God to show us. Try me. Anyone ever been on trial? Few people been on trial? Well, you know what happens when you get put on trial? You get evidence put against you. Look at your life today and ask God to show you the struggles that you face and the things that you're having difficulties with as evidence of the areas that you need to deal with. There are witnesses that are brought against you, usually in a trial. The witnesses against you are the genetic and generational things of iniquity. Ask God to put you on trial and to show you these things. Because in the end, it says, see if there's any wicked way in me. We don't want any wicked ways in us. The wicked ways are the things that the enemy has authority to spoil and stop our inheritance. Ephesians 5:27. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, no wrinkle, any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. It's the same thing it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He wants us to be holy and blameless, sound, complete, no rubbish, no enemy strongholds or activity in our lives, free. Now, taking it back to the illustration of the promised land, 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Talking about those who had come out of Egypt, come into the wilderness to get into the promised land, came to the fact that they could enter in, and they decided that they were going to listen and look at all the giants and all the stuff in the land rather than God. He wasn't pleased. Now, these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it's written, people sat down to eat and drink, stood up to play. In other words, they were using natural things to meet their needs. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Interesting use of serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Again, spiritual things. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. These things are written so that we can learn from them, and we need to learn from them. Because 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. Behind every form of idolatry is a demon. And demons love to be worshipped because they reflect Satan, who loves to be worshipped. Every time we sin, we worship Satan. I know it doesn't sound very pleasant, but that's exactly what we're doing. Every time we give in to a stronghold, way of thinking, pattern of sin, iniquity, We're giving the enemy authority to block our inheritance. So we need to stop operating in idolatry, using the world's resources to meet our needs. Immorality, using other relationships to meet our needs. Trying God, disobedience, lack of gratitude, being destroyed by serpents. Grumbling, lack of trust, being destroyed by the destroyer, spiritual powers that are looking to destroy us. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of those fortresses, those strongholds. We have authority and power and weapons that can destroy those strongholds and fortresses. Destroying speculations, those things that cause us not to believe God. The lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. The mindsets, the ways of thinking which stop us operating in faith. So that we can take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience. That plumb line that says, this is right, this is God, and this isn't. That's what God wants in our lives. We've got a new year ahead of us. Let's continue to cooperate with the process of transformation. Let's continue proactively presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. Let's let go of the past. Let's grab hold of our destinies. Now, I want to finish just by giving you some things, and I've done this before in previous years, of things that you might think about letting go of, and some things you might getting hold of. If you are holding on to something that does not belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If you're still affected by disappointment or discouragement, let it go. If you're still affected by being rejected, unsupported, undervalued, or ignored, let it go. If people have made you feel insignificant, unaccepted, and unappreciated, let it go. Don't hold on to those things, because those things are the stakes that the enemy plants in your life that gives him authority. If you're still demotivated by your past failures and others' bad treatment of you, let it go. Don't let other people rob you. Only if you keep hold of it do they have authority over your life. If your past is still negatively affecting your present and clouding your future, let it go. If you're demotivated by unfulfilled dreams, visions, and expectations, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or an addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. Don't be caught in keeping security and letting the trust of that, rather than doing what God wants for you to do, hinder you and stop you. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. Sometimes you just have to say enough is enough and let it go. If you keep trying to help somebody who won't help, even try to help themselves, let it go. Don't get codependent. Don't get into stuff where your future is dependent on how someone else is. Let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, it just ain't worth it. Let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you've got a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. Don't take it into a new year. If there is a particular situation that you're so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. If you're still trying to sort out your own life in your own way, in your own strength, then you need to let it go. Because it's God's strength. Your sinful nature, let it go. We've got some baptisms coming up, I understand. We're going to do them, I think, on 20th of January. It's an opportunity to deal with your sinful nature. Your iniquitous patterns, let it go. Your negative bloodline influences, let it go. your genetic seed line records. Let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for 2013. He's always doing a new thing. It's just we keep holding on to the old things. Let all those old things go and embrace the new things God wants to do this year, because he's got so many awesome things for us. If we will let those things go. Let it go, because the battle belongs to the Lord. It's God's battle. We just need to let him fight it on our behalf and stop trying to do it ourselves. Okay? What do we need to get hold of? Your identity in God. Grab hold of it for all your worth. Your destiny in God. Grab hold of it. Who you are in Christ. Grab hold of it. God's plan and purpose for your life. Grab hold of it. Your inheritance in God. Grab hold of it. Your spiritual gifts. Grab hold of it. The fruit of the Spirit. Grab hold of it. Your blessing. Grab hold of it. Your forgiveness. Grab hold of it. Your healing. Grab hold of it. Your peace. Grab hold of it. Your joy. Grab hold of it. It's all there in Christ for you. Your access to God. Grab hold of it. Your debt cancellation. Grab hold of it. Your financial blessings. Grab hold of it. Your breakthrough in God. Grab hold of it. Your relationship with God, grab hold of it. Your intimacy with God, grab hold of it. Your anointing with the Holy Spirit, grab hold of it. God's love for you, grab hold of it. Your life transformation, grab hold of it. Your wholeness, grab hold of it. Your blamelessness, grab hold of it. Your spotlessness, grab hold of it. Your heavenly encounters, grab hold of it. Your access to the courts of heaven, grab hold of it. Your heavenly mountain thrones, grab hold of it. Your kingdom authority, grab hold of it. Amen? Let all that stuff go and get hold of all the new stuff God's got for you, because he loves you. And he's got an inheritance that is yours if you allow him to give it you. Amen.